We're joined in studio by Anna Nolan and shortly by Angus McAnally. Anna, you're very welcome.
Why, thank you, Derek.
This is the first time you've been in here.
I know.
No, it's not.
It is.
Oh, no, it's not.
Was I off?
Yes. Oh. She was in with me. We had great
Where are
fun.
You?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Girly things.
Girly things.
Oh, I
silly
see.
Stuff. Yeah. But no, it's the first time I'm here with you.
Well, it's great to have you in.
Thank
anyway, you.
You
wrote an article recently in the Herald about your mother who, a while back, sold the family home to
yes.
move to a new apartment.
Yes.
And I believe... of all the columns you've written, it generated the biggest response.
Yeah, it got a huge response. And I suppose I know why, but I didn't expect it to.
Give us a little background to the article, if you would, please.
Okay, so 3 weeks ago, my mother sold up the family home, the home that she'd been in since she was 4 years of age, in Dolphin Road in Rialto. And she bought an apartment. She wanted to downsize. So basically, myself and my five sisters went around and had a final walking around of the house, I suppose, and saying goodbye and reminiscing. Now, we were lucky that, you know, Mam is alive and well. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't traumatic, or, well, you know, we weren't filled with grief while we were doing it. But it definitely brought up a few emotions for all of us. And the strangest thing walking around the house is that the memories I had were from when I was very small, rather than teenage memories or early adult memories. So I could remember the day I could eventually see over the kitchen table and see that actually all that was on the table was salt and pepper and saucers and cups. And then when I went upstairs, I remember the time that I was babysitting my younger sister, who at the time was 3 and had climbed out the window onto the extension. And I couldn't get out the window to get her. So I had to call her over and promise her chocolate. And then when she came over, grabbed her by the hair and pulled her back in again. So we were all walking around the house and just being lovely
and
nostalgic.
Did you not have a feeling?
Well,
did,
hold on to your thoughts about the feelings.
Okay, we'll talk feelings in a minute.
You can tell us about similar stories. You can text 51551 or email mooney@rte.ie. Now, let's get back to Anna Nolan. We'll come to Angus in just a moment because they're similar but very different stories and different situations. Mm. Yours is, your mum is... has sold the house
yes.
and she's moving out as the family home. And
yes.
you're talking about the kitchen table and you're talking about remembering when you were 3 or 4 being able to peek above the kitchen table and seeing the salt and pepper. Well, what do they call those things? What, salt
condiments.
And pepper?
Condiments.
Condiments. The condiments on the table. Yeah.
Yes.
But
yeah.
wasn't there something under the table?
Yes.
And well, apart from yourself.
Yes. Well, this was the kitchen table we all remember growing up. And it was one of the last items that Mam wanted to get rid of. And... it kind of had, you know, every item in the house has such an emotional connection. And this table had all our initials written underneath that we thought, you know, we would get away with this for years. So there's my initials and my five sisters' initials and dates and just early beginnings of graffiti in the household. And that was, all of us knew we could, I certainly couldn't fit the kitchen table into where I'm living and none of the rest of us, but Rachel, my sister, couldn't let it go. So she has that kitchen table.
So she's taking the kitchen table.
She is. Yeah.
How old is the kitchen table?
The kitchen table's from the 70s. It's one of those white round ones that the two sides would go down.
Oh, they're
really
lovely.
Lovely. Modern.
Cheap.
They were
cheap,
modern.
They were 70s. Yes, they were very cute.
That's actually veneered on top.
Yes,
I'm
yeah, white veneer
very
and
posh.
Kind of circular wooden legs. So,
and your mother didn't want to bring it with her?
No. No.
Why?
My mother... well, she went through this process of the last year of getting rid of stuff. So we were lucky enough that we didn't have to do it. So she was decluttering the house. And she's very good at that. When we were younger, every summer she'd give us a black plastic bag.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd say, you fill that with your stuff. And if you don't, I'll fill it with your stuff. And that's the choice we had to make. So we learned very early on, because there was 9 of us in a little house, to declutter. So... with the table and with everything else, she was the one who was getting rid of it.
Brenda, you wanted to ask something?
Yeah, no,
sorry.
I just, did you not have, I think a moment when I think of my own parents' house, I kind of still think of it as my house as well.
Yes.
So did you not have a moment where you went, excuse me, what are you doing selling? Like, that's my house too, that you're selling. And they're my kind of possessions that I grew up with. So you've no right to have a life of your own and thoughts of your own. And then go and sell it.
Now, Brenda, are you the baby of the family?
No, I'm the eldest.
You sound like the baby.
No, but you know what I'm saying?
Like, I know.
It's your house too.
It was, yeah.
No, they shouldn't think you lived in
you
it.
You shouldn't, yes.
You were brought
you
up in it, but it wasn't
like
your house.
But
your
you have an
house.
Attachment to it.
Yeah.
And I did have the option of buying it. And I was really deliberating about it for a long time. In the end, I couldn't because the mortgage didn't come through. But I think, you know, and maybe I wouldn't have. I don't know. So I didn't have that choice. But I just thought, I don't want to let this go. I don't want to hand it over to somebody else who isn't my family. My family's not going to be there anymore.
Can I just tell you that we've had contact from Lee, I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly anyway, who says, hi, just listening to the programme, Derek, I recently bought Anna's mum's house.
Ah!
And I just want to let her know we are loving it. It's an amazing first home.
Oh, that's...
Where is the house?
That's lovely, actually. It's bringing a tear to me, I know. The house is Dolphin Road, so it's Rialto Parish, but it's Crumlin postal address, and it's on the canal. So you go Dolphins Barn Bridge, then there's Rialto Bridge and Sewer Bridge, and there's a little green park there on the canal. So it's just overlooking the field.
Oh, that sounds lovely, doesn't
it? It's lovely. As my mother always said, it has the best sky. You know, in Dublin, you don't get great skies out of your windows, as in the, you know, big, huge skies, but it has a beautiful view of the field and a big, huge, open sky. Oh, I'm glad she's happy.
And how
there.
Many people were in that house when you were a little baby girl?
Nine.
And who were the nine?
Mommy, Daddy, Mary, Jane, Rachel, Anna, Kevin, Isabel and Eleanor.
And who's not with us today?
As in...
Is everybody still alive?
Everyone's still alive.
Everyone is still alive? Yes.
Well,
so you said your mum and your dad
together?
They're separated. Okay, sorry, I don't want to step on any
You're
clothes
not
or upset
stepping
you or
No, not at all. Not at all.
I just assumed that he had passed on when he said your mum sold the house.
Yes, yeah.
So do you feel like you've lost out an inheritance and all this kind of stuff now? Well, you have to ask, don't you?
She sold the house.
I mean, the mother sold the house and she pocketed the rest.
I saw an ad on the paper which said rock cruise, you know, with all these DJs playing. I was saying, ma'am, you have to go on one of these cruises. No, she's not. She hasn't gone wild and bought any expensive shoes or anything. She lived in my apartment for a couple of weeks afterwards, and now she's staying with my other sister until the apartment comes through. So she's on a tour of her kids.
Tap her for a bit of rent. Anyway, you tell a great story about your youngest sister, Eleanor, living dangerously.
Yes. So Eleanor, that was that youngest. There's two stories about Eleanor. That was the story where she climbed out the window and I had to grab her back in by the hair, basically. But then, and I didn't tell my mother that this had happened because she was only three. And then one day, myself and my mother were at home and we had put Eleanor up for a nap and upstairs in the back bedroom. And next thing, there's a knock on the door and the neighbour arrives and Eleanor is in the neighbour's hands. So Eleanor had again climbed out the window and stepped over three extension roofs and made her way down a wall into the neighbour's
house. She's not a klepto or anything like that. I don't know if you saw a programme. It was a movie called The Anniversary. It was with Bette Davis.
And
she was a very dominating matriarchal figure of the family, and the husband had long since died and she ruled with an iron fist.
Right.
And one of her sons was a kleptomaniac, but he had a penchant for ladies' underwear and kept sneaking out of the house and climbing down the walls into the neighbours and nicking the knickers. That image just flashed into my mind when you said that. And I said, it's a great movie if you've never seen
it. I've never heard of that. That's such a crazy storyline.
Well, you couldn't make it. Well, they did make it.
Yes.
It's called The Anniversary.
Okay.
It's
sounds great.
Classic Bette Davis at her best and worst and all in the same thing. Anyway, so who did all the clearing out? And was your mother there the day you were all clearing out?
Yes.
And was there stuff she said, leave behind or bin it or I'm taking it or you can have it? And what way did all of that work apart from the table?
Yeah, so Mam did most of the clearing out. And then over the last few weeks, she gave us little bits from the house or said, is anybody interested in this or is anybody interested in that? My sisters are all slagging the hell out of me because Mam had collected lots of newspaper cuttings from me over the last 15 years. So there was a little odd ornament for maybe Rach and a little one for Jane. And Mam said, here's 20 years of your life.
I was going to make a statement and say you're the famous one, but are you the only famous one in the family?
They're all famous in each of their own way.
Yeah. That means you are.
Who was the favourite in the family then when you were all growing up? You asked Brenda, was she the youngest? Were you the youngest? Were you the oldest?
I was the middle child, so I had three older and three younger.
Nobody cared about you at all.
Yeah. I was forgotten.
There's no justice.
Yeah.
That's a real middle child thing.
Yes. We used to do this funny thing with my mother every week and she would play along with it. She was a great one for playing along with the kids. And we'd all line up. And we'd say, ma'am, who's your favourite? And she'd say, okay, line up, because this week I'm going to tell you who my favourite is.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh.
And then she'd go, you're all my favourite.
And we go, ma'am. Bear me. Did she never make it interesting? Say, come back after the break. Obviously, X Factor wasn't around in those days.
She'd eliminate one by one until there was two left.
You know, my favourite ad on telly is that one where your man is talking to the identical twins and he says, I'm going to have to let one of you go.
Oh, yeah. It's nothing personal.
My favourite ad. And they're looking at him, what? So you had a big party on the day, the last day.
We had kind of, a gathering, photos taken. And the weirdest thing about being in the house was the echo. So, you know, there was no carpets, no furniture. And it was very strange to be in your home with nothing in it. And we took photos and then all headed off to the Red Cow Inn for a big roast.
Carvery.
Big Sunday roast.
And was it hard on the last day? Because you were going to leave this home for the very last time and probably never cross the door again.
Was it hard? It wasn't too hard because we were making each other laugh and we're a great family for distracting each other with humour and that. Mam was quiet, you know, and I'd say it might have been difficult for her because, you know, as I say, she's originally from York Street. From the tenements in York Street. So that family were all, you know, Rialto and Crumlin and Drimnagh, those houses were built in the early 70s to house the people from the tenements. So she, I remember her saying to me, I know this house. If it was midnight and there was no lights in Ireland, I could make my way around this house. Mm. I know it inside out. So she was quiet on the day. But she's excited and happy to be moving on, which is incredible for a woman who's 70-something to be moving on to a brand new life, and she's excited about it.
And she's moving into an apartment now, is she?
Yeah.
And how does she feel about that? And has she moved in already?
No. She's on a tour of her children's houses.
Oh, she's still touring.
She's still touring. And I'd say in the next few weeks, she'll move in before Christmas. Mm.
Did you ever have any pets when you were younger?
We had Cleo the cat, who lost its tail because I left a window open and the window broke and sliced its tail off.
In that house. And did you remember that when you were walking around?
I did, actually.
Did Cleo used to kind of curl up somewhere in a corner? Did you look in that corner? Was there kind of senses of all the people that had been through the door and where they might have been, that kind of stuff?
Yes, yeah. I did think of cutting the cat's tail off. It was more because there were so many of us. There was 9 of us, so it was memories of relationships with each other. You know, as kids, some of us got on really well, and then you go through different stages of killing each other. My sister Rachel and Kevin killed each other. They had to be kept in separate rooms, and then you had to announce when one was coming into the same room with the other, and that sort of thing. And then it was weird because the 8 of us were 8 grown-ups. And we seemed huge.
The house must have felt very tiny.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, the house felt small and empty and, you know, it was an emotional day, but we weren't too upset.
Well, Angus, you had a similar situation, but completely different. Which we'll come to after the break. You can visit our website anytime you like, rte.ie/Mooney. Now, I'm sure you're familiar with the Living Word on RT Radio 1. It's a long-standing 2-minute daily meditation broadcast each day from Monday to Friday. It starts very early in the morning at 6:40, then it's repeated again late at night. I think it's just before 1 a.m. Anyway, Angus, you took part in the Living Word.
Yes, last week I was very privileged. It was part of a grieving process for me, I think, to actually write how I felt about my dad's death 25 years ago and my mum, who passed away in February of this year, just gone by, and the difference in how you, as a child, as a parent, as a grandparent or a grandchild, whatever, all of that sort of stuff, how it impacts on you. And thank you very much for letting me play the clip of Friday, which is kind of rounding off the week. Mm-hmm. I had talked earlier about my dad dying and the funeral, and then getting to grips with Mam, knowing that she was going to die, and then obviously her death. So this was my thought for a Living Word on the Friday.
I suppose technically now I am an orphan in my 50s. I can't get over how different it is to have both parents gone. Even though it is 25 years since my father's death, having my mother there maintained the sense of continuity of family. With her passing, and although it is part of the natural process of life, I feel an unbelievable sense of loss. The baton has been handed down a generation, and now, more than ever before, I feel the responsibility of parenthood, both to my own children, but also to the incredibly beautiful, exciting, and intriguing role of grandparent. I am amazed at the power of the senses as I go through her things in the house. I sense her around the place. As I sit in the chair in the living room looking at photographs, I remember her sitting opposite me with a tray on her lap, her tea with lemon and sweeteners all positioned in the same place every day. In the kitchen, her set of weights for her baking scales brings back memories of childhood treats, the exquisite taste of licking the bowl, souffle omelettes, making marmalade. Her holiday clothes create instant memories of sun-filled laughter and joy. Even her computer, which was such a vital part of her daily routine with email and correspondence, reminds me of phone calls. Can you call me back? Just need to finish this by 4 o'clock. I am thankful for the lives my parents lived and proud to be their son. In time, the pain of losing them will diminish. But for now, I am happy to have a quiet tear in my eye from time to time as I watch the circle of life complete its 360-degree journey.
Goodness, Angus, you're not thinking of checking out yourself anytime soon, are you?
I mean, no, I am vibrant and
but it was beautifully written, Angus. Really beautifully written, very evocative. Yeah,
there's a tear in your eye.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Very
well, it was very much how I feel about my mum and about my dad, and the fact that mum began to be hazy around the edges for the last 3 months of her life, or maybe I suppose the last year, but she was independently living at 87 years of age, which was absolutely fantastic, and it was just, it was extraordinary for me to be able to contrast the notion of finding out, literally having a conversation with my dad the day he dies, not knowing he's going to die, and then he's gone, and then having the time to be with my mum, whom I'd always been with anyway. You would have seen me with her at shows
and
all the time.
I remember you telling me about her that she was getting a bit flaky, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but I remember you saying to her, leaving stuff on and all that, because my own mother had Alzheimer's, so had some appreciation and understanding of it. Yeah,
absolutely. So there was a chance to be ready, but I decided that all I was going to do was let her lead. You know, she could. I was never going to say to her, you know, because I talked in one of the earlier pieces of A Living Word about, do you have the conversation with your parents that they are dying? And I decided, no, I'm going to let her take it any way she wants. You know.
And did she discuss it with you?
No, but she was. She knew. I would say to her when I'd leave her, I'd say, "Mom, I love you," and she'd look at me and she'd say, "I do know that." And there was a clarity in that, no matter where the edges were anywhere else, because there were times when she was in great form and she knew exactly what she was at and where she was doing, and she was going off to do this, that and the other. And then there'd be other times when she'd say, "Where am I? What?" And I'd say, "No, you know where you are, we're here, I'm with you," and whatever. "Oh yeah, of course I do. You don't have to keep telling me that." And I am thankful that the Lord spared us her not knowing us, because she did know us.
And spared her that too,
and
probably.
Absolutely.
So, terribly frustrating.
Funny,
for
if somebody said something to me that I had never heard before and I never really understood it until it was said to me, which was, there are worse things than dying. And by jingo, there are, you know, the pain for people. It must be horrific to be with a parent or a child who doesn't know you.
Yeah, but they can have quite lucid moments themselves where they kind of do remember, or they know that they don't know who you are, and that impacts on them.
Yeah.
And they're taken by the fact that, I don't know who this person is.
Yeah.
You know, and you can see it in the eyes.
You can see,
that's really tough for them as well, even though they can't communicate.
I believe the eyes are the windows to the soul, and I judge people by their eyes. I look into a person's eyes and I can see whether they're genuine, whether they're phony, whether they're friendly, affectionate, loving, whether they hate you or whatever, you know. And I used to love looking into her eyes, giving her a big kiss and a hug and saying, "I love you and thank you."
Mm. You said you were proud to be their son. Were they proud of you?
They were inordinately proud of me, and it was lovely because my mum loved my music, and for me, one of the greatest things I've ever been able to do was on the altar. I played my guitar at her funeral, because in times of depression, in times of quietness, in times of trouble, I would go and go into my music, and that was where I had most happiness. And she used to say, "Will you play for me?" And I loved, and she came to all my concerts, and I brought her around the world on gigs and things like that. And I played "And I Love You So" on the funeral at the church. And I said, "This is for you, ma'am." And it was just, it gave me such great, great comfort. But I've just been going through the house with Connor. My brother lives in Texas. Niamh is in Sark, and Moira, my other sister, lives in Rush. So after ma'am's death, we decided we would leave the house for 6 months, because it's such a daunting job to go through the entire life of somebody. And you also, you feel that, as you were saying, Derek, I've no right to be going through her clothes or her possessions. And it's such a thing that needs to be done with such dignity and love and affection. So I said, "You know what? Let's do nothing for 6 months, and let's all come back And last week now, I was on annual leave and we spent the week going through the house. And I have to say, it got easier as each day went on. The first couple of days were really, really tough because it's a dead person. It's your mom. You love her. She's not there. She is there. She's everywhere. She's gone. And you're kind of going through all of those mixed emotions. And particularly for me, I think her clothes on one level, to see all the bits, things that I would have had, things I bought for her when we were away. You know, she loved a lovely bargain. It was beautiful. And actually, we buried her in it. A beautiful three-piece woolen knitted.
She's probably cursing you from because I never liked that.
She loved it. A beautiful three-piece knitted outfit in white. She wore it to opening nights. It was beautiful, right? And the truth can now be told. It looked $1 million, right? And we bought it in Nerja. And it was a tenner for the top, a tenner for the bottom, and a tenner for the third bit. And it looked like it was good. It was 30 quid. And she said, she'd go along, we'd be going to the opening night, and the board gosh, she said, you know what? Feck them, it only cost 30 quid. And they're all up there. It was lovely. But that, and also then the other night on Saturday, myself and Moira were actually dismantling her bed. Oh. And that was the last sort of vestige of, because, you know, and funny, Moira would have spent a lot of time with Mam when she would have been ill. And I had spent a lot of time with Mam every day coming home. And that's why that memory of her sitting in the chair with her tray, I'd come in at the same time each day and she'd be having her tea or whatever. And I'd sit there. So for me, sitting in the lounge evoked huge amounts of memory. And for Moira, it was more the bedroom or whatever, that sort of stuff. But it is very therapeutic to have affectionate family with you. Mm. And I agree with everything you're saying, Anna, because, I mean, even within the four of us, we all said, look, let's stay on the same page. We've all gone in different directions. There will be moments where we're all going to have a wobbly. Let's allow each other to have a wobbly. Mm. Let's stand back and say, do you know what? No rows. We're all on the same page. And we did that. And actually, I think, and it's lovely, I can say this with honesty, the four of us as siblings, because we are now the family. That's it. We are much stronger and closer together than we ever were, I'd say, in the last 20 years.
Which is exactly probably what your mother would want.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But it's funny, I can see incredible parallels and then by the same token, huge differences as well in the clearing out process for Anna and myself, you know.
And did you even feel strange, you know, going into a room as an adult, because they would have been private places
absolutely,
for your mother.
Yeah.
So you might not have been in your mother's bedroom since you were 5 or 6 or
the
jewelry, no, maybe
box,
teenager.
Or the shoes. And,
And then, I mean, for all of us, I mean, I'm an awful hoarder and I do keep loads of things. But then when you come across files of every letter that you've written when you were a kid and your school reports and little notes you send, and with Mam and Dad having been away making movies and plays and TV things, there was a lot of time when they were away. So we'd be sending them letters and faxes and telegrams, you know. And even I found things like sweet wrappers of English sweets that you would, like the white chocolate that you couldn't have got in Ireland, like when we were kids, all that sort of stuff in boxes, you know. And one of the things we had to do as the four of us when we were trying to go through everything was say, look, of course, if you see something that you need to talk about or want to talk about, we'll do it. However, we don't have the luxury of every single item being an item of memory. And do you remember this? Do you remember this? Mm. So we, as I said, we allowed each other the chance to grieve and talk and laugh and cry. But there were other stuff you had to say. Do you want it? Do you want it? Are we ever going to see this again? Gone. Mm. Recycle, recycle. Mm. Dump, skip, gone, recycle, rubbish, you know. And you had to be a little bit ruthless. But when you went to bed at night time, I found myself just looking up at the ceiling and going over her life, my life, my dad's life, my family, my kids, my wife, you know, my grandchildren. And it makes you, for me, the good thing of this, it has made me reflect on the joy of life and of friendship. And you know what? Work is only work. I love my work. I love performing. I love doing radio. I love doing TV. I love singing, whatever. But I love my family more than anything else. I think that is the bedrock of how we are as human beings. Somebody to hug and say, I love you, be there for me, and I'll be there for you. That's
Tell
all
me,
it is.
Did you grow up in that house, Angus?
I was there for, I was born in Artane, and in 1967 we moved out to Sutton to a big George. My dad was mad, as you know, but he had this mad notion. He went from a tiny three-bedroom terraced house in Artane to a four-storey Georgian house by the sea in Sutton.
Yeah, he's right.
He had to go, and it was brilliant for a while, and then he kind of said, oh, sugar, I have to pay for this every month. And then we kind of downsized a little bit. So that house was there from 1975. So I was in it for a good few years.
So
but
it's not
the childhood
memories.
No.
But still hard to say goodbye to it. So what's going to happen now? We've had a text in saying, why didn't your entire family, Anna, get together and buy the home? and then figure out what to do.
Yeah, we didn't want it that much.
Didn't want it that much. Yeah. Okay. But what about yourself?
No, we're going to sell the house.
You're going to get rid of it.
But it's a lovely site in Sutton. It's down by the sea.
He's selling it now.
Yeah. Can I verify that it is a lovely house?
Oh, it's great to use. We recorded. we did a whole Mooney Goes Wild there with my mum because she had foxes in the greenhouse.
Yeah, it was actually a cat. I didn't want to disappoint her. Upset her at the time. Yeah, it's a fox.
She never recovered from that. She went downhill after that. It's all your fault. I'd still have my mother today if you hadn't. You're not. I hate you. I never want to see you again.
But she was a very, I have to say, now that you're sitting there, she was a lovely woman actually to meet.
Mm. She was, you know, gorgeous.
Full of, I could never believe how old she was because she had so much life in her the whole time you met her.
And you know, for me, the secret of that? It's showbiz. You never retire.
And she was 87. 87. And she would have been living on her own
right to the very end.
Wow.
She was 6 weeks in Beaumont Hospital and 6 weeks in a nursing home in Rush. The Rush were fantastic, beautiful nursing home down there. They looked after her so well. But she had lived. And the 2 days before she collapsed at home, she had been doing volunteer work, which she did for 40 years. Every Friday morning, she went into a place in town to man the phones, to be on a helpline for people who needed help. And I'd said to her for the last 10 or 12 years, I said, "Ma'am, come on, you're 75. Ma'am, you're 78. You're 8. Ma'am, you're 82. Ma'am, you're 8. She said, "They were there for me when I needed them, and I'm going to be there for them."
All right. Well, Angus and Anna, thank you very much indeed for coming in and sharing your experiences. Lots of emails and text messages coming in. And as always on this programme, if you're in that situation and you have to do it, if a loved one has passed on and you have to go to the house and you'd like us to go with you, then get in touch. You can email mooney@rte.ie. Hi, Derek. Just like Anna's situation, only I've bought my family home. I'm the youngest of six. It's great. For example, the tea set is still there, says Veronica, who's listening in Monaghan. On the subject of Angus, we went through that earlier this summer when my dad died. My sibling was left the house and hopes to rent it. I went to help clear out the bits and pieces, and it was so strange after 60 years of gathering. The way I'm dealing with it is, he's not there. It's not the same. That piece by Angus is so beautiful and very moving. I have lost both my parents. My mum died 2 years ago. I still miss them so much. I always told her I loved her. It's so important to tell your parents you love them. Give Angus a hug from me, says Anya in Mayo. Another one, people think because one's parents live a long life, you should not grieve. You miss them even more, says Frank, who's listening in. What a lovely piece from Angus. His line, "Let there be no rows," was writ clear in a letter from my father to us, his children, to be opened after his death. He said, "Let there be no rows. I love you all too much for that." How lovely to remember that today. Thanks, Angus, says Siobhan and Trim. Another one here. Dear Derek, on the passing of loved ones, they are still alive through speech and funny stories of the ones that are left behind. Angus is an example of this as his voice is high-pitched with good memories. Regards, says Shane. And for the moment, what a beautiful piece from Angus. Magic. He catches the sadness and joy of that experience we all have to go through. Hi, Mum, says here. Hi, Mum would be so proud. Paul and Wicklow.